From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready from the Clark Ford Studio. It has been raining most of the weekend, still raining this morning. It's supposed to pretty much rain all day, so that, along with students moving back for this week, makes for a nice Chamber of Commerce week here in Oxford, Mississippi. I would recommend not going to any grocery stores, Walmart, anything of the like for the next 7 to 10 days, somewhere in there would be good. As the Oxford Police Department tweeted this morning, plenty of U-Hauls will be getting to town starting today. It is
total confusion on the square, a complete misunderstanding of how roundabouts are even
roundabouts
supposed to
and one-way streets.
So bad.
The one-way street, I kind of get, because it's, I mean, you don't know where they are and you can make some mistakes, especially in traffic. Roundabouts being to this level of confusion, though, kind of cracks me up, even though I guess maybe I'm so used to them. I don't know, but you will have a lot of people this week, if you're driving around Oxford, that just stop in the middle of the roundabout and throw their hands up, not knowing what to do.
You guys at least keep going, at least just keep doing the Pascual Perez thing and just keep going on the loop.
It's the same thing as the guy that merges onto the highway and just stops and can't realize that going 60 and merging is much easier than going 8 and merging. But anyway, after all this is going on, probably going to need a daiquiri. Can get one of those at the Oxford Exxon. Got 6 different flavors. You got orange coming. A lot of different options there. 20-ounce, just a little around $3. That's a small. You can get them bigger if you'd like. So that's at the Oxford Exxon. The Oxford Crystal, you can get milkshakes, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry and Oreo, hand-spun. You also get the Kool-Aid slushes. Those are made with Sprite. Green apple and grape are your varieties for those. So check all those things out. Get your ribs, get your lunch specials, and more on Highway 6 West End, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford and Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. Once you get your quote, you can shop it around. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of this podcast all over the South, from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, from Shreveport to Atlanta. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's great deals. It's right to the bottom line. So easy. No haggling. Just an easy car buying experience, and you'll love the Ford that you drive away with. Again, 662-257-1900. And, hey, at the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden. Either one, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. This debate going on about what to do when you start losing your hair, this is not one of these things that can be debated. There is no two sides to this story. There's a right and a wrong. If you have a horseshoe, you need to shave your head. Period.
I mean, you're basically Tony Robbins. Is on the message board last night and into this morning. You say, shave it, and then say, if nothing else, the woman in your life might take pity on you.
She might take some pity. You might discover that she likes you for your personality, which was probably the case anyway. There will be no doubt at this point. You got to lose weight. Here's the thing.
Ooh, that's a good point.
You have to... I just posted this. I'm trying to help people. But I've learned in this world that people like being lied to. Just tell me a lie. Tell me enough lies and I'll believe it. Make me feel good about myself. It's like when women come out and they say, hey, do I look okay in this? Do I look fat in this? What if the answer is yes, you do? It's not the best look.
So you're always completely honest with that question?
Hell no, I'm not. But what would be wrong with that? I'll tell you this. I want you to be honest with me. If I say, do I look kind of...
No, you've got to scheme this. You've got to do the... You look fine, but you know, that blue dress. Really like that one, though. Really like that one instead. Love that one on you. You have to give the alternate opinion in a positive way.
Yeah. But I'm tired of spin, man. We just guys talking to guys. If you're losing your hair, here's the deal. Now, this is not a racial statement. Black guys can pull it off better than white guys, period. But now the weight thing applies to black guys the way it applies to white guys. If you're bald, if you're bald, I don't care if you're white, black, or anything else. If you're bald, every extra pound is basically 5 pounds. It's like you're always on television.
It's because of the jowls and the cheeks.
And the roundness. If your body gets round and your face gets round, there's no hair to soften the roundness. You look like a snowman. Bottom line. So when you start losing it and you shave it, you got to get tan. You've got to get a tan, which is hard to do because you get out in the sun and you'll burn your head and it hurts like a son of a you-know-what in the shower. And you got to lose weight. You've either got to really ramp up the exercise or you have to put the fork down or both.
Basically, what you have to do is you have to mimic like Morning of Chicago Marathon Neil, not the Neil that's in the mugshot from the press register that pops up when you Google your name.
Yes.
Where you kind of still had the horseshoe thing, the bozo thing going on.
It was awful.
On.
It was awful. It was a terrible look.
You were 50 pounds heavier probably.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, not that Neil.
No.
Because you fought it for a while.
I did. Well,
what made you not fight it?
Oh, I mean, like people in my life, like you can't shave your head. That looks bad. You'll look like a biker. You'll look like a thug, stuff like that. And one day I just said, F it.
I do kind of need you to like grow a little bit of a goatee beard thing now with the bald head. Just kind of see what that looks like.
No.
I'm kind of curious.
No.
Come on.
Not going to happen. This is as much stubble as I go. Like I'm shaving today. I'm shaving all of it. I have one big shave-a-thon at some point today.
How often you have to hit it?
About every 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah, because the 5 o'clock shadow is not a big deal
no.
on your head.
No. In fact, sometimes I think the 5 o'clock shadow on your head actually looks okay.
It's a little, yeah, it just, but it's a fine line.
Oh, like Carson hates it. He'll say, Dad, you need to shave your head. You got the horseshoe.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And see, I appreciate that honesty. I never fight back.
When did you start losing your hair?
Oh, when I was about 16.
No, seriously.
It's about 16.
No shit.
Awful.
You had a little bit of flow in college. I've seen the photos.
I had a little.
But it was thin.
It was really thin.
Yeah.
I had to really magnify it.
Yeah. You did not have thick, coarse hair even in college.
No. And girls saw that, and it was like head to the hills. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't have dated me either.
Said Robin was just being nice the other day.
Oh, absolutely. Robin was lying out of her teeth. Robin showed you that side of being a politician.
Oh, it looked fantastic.
Oh, you looked great. She's thinking, oh, my God. No. I mean, you're 19, 20, and losing your hair, that's rough now. That's a bad look. Girls aren't running to that.
I've always thought, because I have a very kind of small mole on the top right side of my head. I thought, if I ever go bald, I've got to get the mole removed,
yep.
too. Like, there yep. was a process in my head that said, if I ever lose my hair, I have A, B, C, D. Like, there are multiple issues here to deal with. But I think I'm safe.
Yeah, you're good. By the time
I've had no receding hairline at all.
Odds are overwhelming that you won't lose your hair, and if you do, it'll be so late that it won't matter. I mean, yeah,
at that point, who absolutely gives
up? If you're losing it in your 70s, I mean, okay, whatever.
Yeah, you're much more worried about your cholesterol than your hairline at that point.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I see a bunch of buddies who kind of just the hairline starts creeping back. And I go, yeah, I've avoided that. Hadn't got the five head going on quite yet.
Now, both my brothers still have their hair.
Oh, do they really?
Oh, yeah.
So you just were unlucky.
I got that strand. I got that piece of DNA. It is what it is.
It's maternal, right?
It's maternal, yeah. But they didn't get that. I mean, we come from the same sperm egg thing. You know, the way that works.
Yeah. I've made my little squares back in the day to get the blood types and stuff. What are they called? know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
You know, in school, you'd have to, like, do the little squares where you combine, like, your parents' blood types to figure out your blood type or whatever. Like, what are those called?
I don't know what they're called.
Okay.
I'm a sports writer.
Kids now probably do that in preschool. We probably did it in seventh grade back then. All right. Well, now that we got that out of the way, bald people, shave your head. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Don't do the horseshoe, the bozo clown looking thing. It doesn't look good.
No, it's terrible.
Wear hats.
Yeah, get lots of hats. You'll need them for a multitude of reasons.
You do have a lot of hats.
I do. I wear hats for sure.
But you're not uncomfortable.
No, I'm not the guy that, I mean, I'm bald. I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend I'm not. I am.
You never considered comb overs and toupees.
No. You move on. You accept it. You once you acknowledge to yourself in a true way that you're ugly, you kind of move on from it. It's like a truth.
You don't wake up in the morning and go, I look like Bruce Willis.
No.
He's bald and looks good. No. I'm bald.
No.
Sexy as hell.
No way. No. Okay. You gotta bank on some other things.
Fair enough. Really good news coming out yesterday. Benito Jones released from the hospital during Saturday morning scrimmage. The Ole Miss quoted it as a hard hit was the way that they described it. Something where he got sent to the hospital, needed spinal x-rays. They ran a bunch of tests. They kept him overnight for observations. And he is fine. They said he's day-to-day from a football sense. But Benito will be okay on the field. Get him healthy to September 2nd should be the ultimate goal here. And above all else, just he appears to have dodged that bullet. He is healthy. So good news there.
Definitely good news there. Benito's a good kid.
Yeah, had a tough year, and now he at least gets one break here from what in the aftermath it sounded fairly significant, like it could be a big deal, but never lost movement, never lost feeling in extremities.
Well, kudos to Ole Miss and the medical. I mean, we weren't out there, we didn't see it, so I don't know, but it sounds like they took every precaution, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah, don't screw around with it.
Kudos, and they kept him overnight, run checks, make sure. And I would think this week they'll ease him back in slowly. There's no
– He doesn't need 1,000 reps.
Well, the truth is, I mean, if you need Benito Jones for the next 2 weeks to get ready for South Alabama and UT Martin, this season is not going to go well anyway. It's like we always talk about, if we're still talking about UT Martin the day after UT Martin, it went really badly.
I was looking them up this morning. They have four preseason all-conference players on their offense. Number one quarterback in the league.
I maintain my position.
Jason Simpson, our boy, is still the coach there.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game. He and Herm would be buddies.
I have a feeling the day after UT Martin, the Monday after UT Martin, we will not even mention UT Martin. There will be an NCAA hearing going on that I suspect will be 100% of our focus.
Ole Miss beat them 76-3 in 2015. Chad Kelly threw for a lot of yards.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that game. Yep.
You don't remember a lot?
I don't. I remember writing up a column about they're going to play Alabama next.
Was Bama the second game of the season?
Bama was the third game.
Well, they opened with UT Martin.
They played UT Martin, then they played – didn't they play like UTEP or somebody?
Nah, UTEP was years ago. That's when Trey Elston got suspended.
What year are we talking about? 2015?
Yeah.
2015 Ole Miss football. Let's see what comes up. Because I'm thinking there were two blowouts and they went to Alabama.
There were two blowouts. They beat someone 50 or 60 or 70 something to not much. Was it Lafayette or was that later in the year? Not even that year.
I'm pulling it up. Let's see.
Good pod.
I know. It's real good. They opened with UT Martin. I was right. UT Martin, then Fresno. It was a West team.
Oh, Fresno. Okay.
They beat UT Martin 76-3. Then they beat Fresno 73-21. Then they went to Alabama and won 43-37. Beat Vanderbilt 27-16 and then went to Florida and lost.
Yeah.
Played New Mexico State the day before I ran the Chicago Marathon. And then lost
Larry Rose.
Lost at at Memphis, then beat A&M, beat Auburn, and then lost the crazy game to Arkansas before winning the final three games of the season.
History lesson with Dale.
So what'd you think of my my 10 thoughts where I mentioned Les Miles as the bridge in the event that it's bad?
Well, we had discussed it. I knew you were writing it.
Yeah, I did. Because if you had said, man, that is insane, don't write that, people will lose their minds, I wouldn't have.
No, I told you, write it in the context of how you're writing it. It makes sense, A. And B, it's going to get discussion.
So let's discuss. What do you think? The more I think about it, the more I think it's absolute genius.
Well, okay.
Assuming he doesn't have, like, dementia or something.
Again, context is your friend here. There's some people that have read this that haven't provided that level of context or haven't received that level of context from it.
Yeah, so let me go through this.
Yeah. Let's set it up. We're not saying Les Miles is the number one choice to be Ole Miss's coach.
No.
That is not the argument we are making.
Here's my argument. It's not really even an argument. It's just trying to be thinking. Trying to think out loud.
Okay, go ahead. Set it up.
So, they go in front of the committee in 4 weeks.
They do.
So, a ruling comes down probably 12 weeks from today-ish. So, almost 3 months. Today is August the 14th. So, we're talking about November the 14th-ish.
Give or take between Kentucky and Lafayette.
Okay. Sometime between November 1 and November 15, let's call it that. If it's a one-year bowl ban, if they just accept Ole Miss's self-imposed sanctions, no. Les Miles would not even be a candidate at that point. I wouldn't even contact him.
Go get a coach.
I wouldn't return his call. I'll get to Matt Luke in a minute. Because this isn't really about Matt Luke at all. Now, look. If Ole Miss goes 10-2 and recruits are piling in, well, then you don't mess up a good thing. I'm assuming that doesn't happen. Because if that happens, well, that's an easy answer.
Yeah, it'd make for a boring pod, so go ahead.
Right. Let's say it's a one-year deal. You come to the conclusion, which is what I think they've basically already decided this, that Matt Luke's not your guy, that you're going to go start over. You're going to go from scratch. You go out in that scenario and you put together a $5 million a year package and you go get a coach. You go out and you compete with the big boys to get a big boy coach because you are a big boy. Like I said, you put together a top 15 package. Is your job a top 15 job? Well, probably not, but you can make it one.
Close enough.
You know, I mean – so, reason J.J. Redick went to the Sixers, it wasn't to win a title. Money. You pay enough, put enough money together for a coaching staff and say, we're going to leave you alone. Do your thing. Just win. And when that guy says, okay, I don't want booster this and booster that, done. I don't want this done. It's your job. Well, that's a pretty attractive job. It's an SEC job. Lots of exposure. And, you know, listen, if you become, being Ole Miss, become a stepping stone to jobs like Notre Dame and Ohio State and stuff like that, that's good. That means you won big.
Yeah, guys can only step when they win.
Yeah, and there aren't many steps from Ole Miss.
No.
So, that's easy. But let's say that you get cratered. No one's cheering for that, obviously. But let's say you get cratered 2 years, 20-some-odd scholarships, major recruiting restrictions, hammered. Kids can transfer out without penalty. And if that happens, some will, make no mistake. Because there are kids, they can't say it out loud, but there are kids in that 2016 class that feel like they got lied to. It's reality. We know that. They're not going to admit it on the record. So don't do, well, that's not what they say. I know we do know things behind the scenes. We have talked to family people. There are family members from that class who are angry at Hugh Freeze, and they feel like they were misled. there will be defections from that class if they're allowed to leave. You agree with that, Chase?
Yeah, all good. Go ahead.
Okay. In that scenario, what you need is a steward. You need someone who can come in, change the narrative, have enough experience to know how to sort of manage things, to keep a coaching staff around, a good staff, to go out and recruit, to change the public relations of your program. Look, if a big time coach, who's the hot name?
This year's PJ Fleck, whatever. That's
a good way to do this. Otherwise, people get hung up on the specific.
Yeah.
If this year's PJ Fleck still wants to come, well, hire him. Odds are he's not going to want to come yet. So in the event that you can't get this year's PJ Fleck, and you all know what we're talking about when we say that, the young, hot, up-and-comer that everybody wants. If you can't get that guy, I think you hire a steward. An experienced guy who's good with media. It's important.
Likeable.
Likeable. Can go out and do the rubber chicken circuit and get alumni to laugh a little, to feel good, to be honest. Because you're going to have to do a Theo Epstein 2011 here. Hey, we're not going to win the way you want us to win yet. We've got a plan, and we're working on it, but we're not there yet. This is going to be a process, and at times, it's going to be painful. But guess what? We're going to do it the right way. We're not going to humiliate you. There's not going to be scandal off the field. We're going to recruit good kids. We're going to do our best. We're going to try hard. It's not going to be, people go, he couldn't win at LSU with LSU. Well, number one, he did win at LSU. Now, he didn't beat Alabama. But he won a national title. He won 10 games a year. They were pretty good. Won a national title, lost a national title game. Let's not do the Les Miles was a failure at LSU thing. That's crap. Put a ton of kids in the NFL. Is he Nick Saban? No. But the Nick Saban fraternity, guys, is a really small group. I mean, right now there's two people in the Nick Saban fraternity.
And Urban.
He and Urban, and Dabo Swinney is pledging right now for that fraternity. He's still having to go get chicken wings at 2 in the morning at the local 24/7 wing store.
Yeah.
Dabo's got a chance of getting initiated, but he's not there yet. I mean, Jim Harbaugh's not even a pledge yet. Jim Harbaugh's just going through Rush. Begging for a spot in that fraternity. The Nick Saban comparison, stop. Nobody's him. I mean, that fraternity's like Belichick and Carroll and Saban. I mean, that's a – you gotta drive a really expensive Mercedes to even get thought about for that fraternity. A guy like Miles, you bring him in, you sign him to the four-year deal. You don't announce to recruits, hey, this guy's only here for 2 or 3 years, but everyone knows it. And they're going to be rocky waters. You're not going to be playing on a level playing field. What you can't afford is for someone to come in and further damage your program. You've got to have somebody stabilize your program. The problem Matt Luke has, and it's not fair to Matt, is that Matt was here for all 5 years of Hugh Freeze. Matt Luke's going to get from media types and on the recruiting trail questions about Freeze. What did you know? What did you think? An outsider who was not part of that staff can say simply, I wasn't here.
I don't know.
And can do the Matt Rule thing at Baylor. And I don't really, no offense, have time to find out. I'm busy. We've turned the page. We're going forward. I wasn't here for that. And that question stops getting asked. And then Miles eats a piece of grass, walks around, tells a funny joke, wears his hat real high, and the national media guys start painting a more sympathetic picture of Ole Miss. And then when he leaves and goes off into the sunset, you're through that period. You're back on calmer waters, and now you can go get this year's PJ Fleck. That's my opinion.
I think people are so, and I mean it's by coaches when I say people. One thing that stuck out to me is you were talking about, you go to the rubber chicken circuit and talk about how it's going to be a process and a difficulty. There's only certain instances where a coach, even in college, would say that, period, because they're so consumed with the recruiting portion of what you can get even on a lower level. I don't think a coach would ever come back that and make that his public statement like you can in the pro leagues. I just don't think it happens.
No, I don't either, but you can say it between the lines.
Yeah.
You can tell people between the lines.
He would be a caretaker.
Yeah.
He'd keep the house in order.
The Miles Brennan, you offer him quickly. You offer those kinds of kids quickly. You get the local kids who are inclined to come there quickly. And then you got to go out and you got to have a staff that knows how to really evaluate.
Does this kid fill a niche?
You have to have a strong walk-on program. It's hard. You're not beating Alabama on probation. You're not going to Jordan-Hare and winning on probation. You're just not. You're not taking your 50-some-odd scholarships and beating their 85. I mean, you might have a fluke win, but you're not doing it week after week after week. You're not going and winning the SEC, and you're in a bowl ban anyway. No championship to play for. And then you rebuild your program in that scenario. And in 2019, if Les Miles leads you to the Liberty Bowl, you celebrate it. Like you said, 6 wins. Schedule 4 non-conference nobodies. Beg Purdue to get on your schedule. I know it doesn't work like that. I'm being hypothetical. And then hope to God you can go 2-6 in the league.
Yeah. Typically somebody sucks, so take advantage of it.
NCAA sanctions hurt. They are designed to hurt. As Chase and I have been reporting since early January, the investigators in this case put together a case to get a certain penalty. Doesn't mean they'll get it, but that's been their goal. It's been their goal for a long time. If you've been following this site and this podcast for the last 10 months, this is not new to you.
Yeah, it's one of the more frustrating things because, yes, the investigators do not propose penalties. That is not part of their deal. They do not go in and go 2 years, 28 scholarships, blah, 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 blah. However, they put together a case and tried to argue a case that has a certain falling spot on the matrix that fits their preference. That's what we're saying here. So don't get caught up in the minutia. But anyway, that is it's where we are with that. I think that explained it well, and that makes a lot of sense. Is like I said, he'll fix up some shutters. He'll paint things while he's in there, and then when it's done, maybe you can get some pretty good resale value out of the crib. So
he'll totally change the narrative.
Yeah.
I don't know that he – and I'm going to be honest with you here. I don't know if that's what he would want. Does he want to go someplace where you can't compete? I don't know. I don't know what his options are.
He's trying to get the Purdue job.
Yeah. I don't know what his –
he can't compete for the Big Ten at Purdue.
No. There are some people that think they should have hired him in July.
Yeah.
So.
Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. They have a new holiday lighting for your yard during the holiday season. They also have skeeter beaters where you get mosquito sprays anywhere in North Mississippi. If you'd like a free quote, give them a call, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And you sign an annual contract, mention the podcast, First Cut is on them.
We mentioned 10 weekend thoughts. They are up on the site. Second week in a row, they were up before dark.
It's impressive.
It's big time impressive. I'm proud of myself. I worked on them on Saturday night watching Cubs and Diamondbacks. They're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in the Oxford community more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his sites, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. You want to learn karate or take up fencing? What about getting your children involved in gymnastics or tennis? Maybe you need some tips on catching that trophy bass. The Oxford Park Commission offers all these exciting instructional classes and more. Registration for the fall going on through August 31st. OPC offers golf lessons for adults and youth, as well as a number of tennis and gymnastics classes that are suited for all ages. Outdoor programs such as canoeing and hiking are also available to take part in. Pick out the class or activity that suits you best by visiting them online now at oxfordparkcommission.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They are looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. So you know when you use Gambrell & Associates, you're using the best. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford, 662-281-8800.
It's kind of interesting. Just saw this from SB Nation as we kind of moved through some different stuff. The Chargers, where they're playing in Los Angeles this season.
Yes.
Did you see this?
I have not seen what you're referring to.
The team's eventual home will be a new stadium in Inglewood, California, set to open in 2019. But while the team waits for the stadium costing more than $2 billion to build, the Chargers will temporarily play its home games at StubHub Center, a tiny stadium built in 2003 for Major League Soccer's LA Galaxy. And they say it's actually a great idea. It's the 27,000-seat stadium will be expanded to slightly hold 30,000 for Chargers games and a possibly small number for a league that hasn't had a single team average fewer than 50,000 fans in the last 5 years. So the Chargers are going to play a season or two at 30,000 for attendance. 102 FBS teams have stadiums with bigger standard capacities than this.
The one thing from a fan standpoint is a
lot of close seats.
There will be an intimacy that you probably can't get at most NFL stadiums.
It's weirdly neat, but economically it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it were a permanent move, you'd say you people are insane, but they're building a Taj Mahal.
It's coming.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So anyway, just I'm assuming you got up this morning or maybe last night after you finished Inthals and you were hanging out and maybe poured a glass of something that you got online and you pulled it up, and you ordered a Brandon Phillips jersey.
I was very happy with Brandon. I was very happy with Brandon's comments. I agreed with them completely. I've always had some respect for that dude, BP. I've always respected his game. Played for the Reds for a long time. I was pleased with Brandon yesterday, yes. One of my One of my new favorite non-Cubs. Yesterday was a good day. Bryce Harper's injury wasn't as severe. It looked really bad Saturday night. And there were people in Cardinal Nation, Cub Nation, that were like, ooh, that makes the division series winnable. You don't want to cheer for injuries. You don't want the best players in a sport to get hurt, do you? You cheer for injuries? Matt Ryan went down today. I mean, are you happy about it?
He could sprain an ankle and it'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he missed a game. But you don't want you don't want him to suffer a catastrophic injury. That's not it's not the way you want to win. If you like sports, you don't think like that. What'd you think about his comments?
Whatever. Evan Engram in the New York Post, big story with he and his mother. I'll just say this on Twitter. Little spread.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of friends, a lot of positive things going in New York now. I know we're not surprised.
No. Not even a little.
It's probably gonna work out.
Evan Engram will have a great NFL career, health assuming, if he's healthy. If you told me today that Evan Engram was a, quote, bust, end quote, in the NFL, I'd say, so he got hurt? Bad injury first year? I mean, you know, yeah, if that happens, well, you know, obviously it doesn't work out.
It can be anybody. It is
sure,
what it is.
Happens to anyone. But if he stays normal, healthy, sure, big-time career. No chance that he fails. No chance. He's got all the physical tools, and he's one of the brightest, hardworking people you'll meet. It's going to work out.
Have you watched any preseason football?
Not yet. The Giants and somebody were on the other day, and I couldn't figure out who the Giants quarterback was. It was an African-American guy wearing number 3. I didn't have it on, volume. I just saw it on, and I couldn't figure out who he was.
It's like you looked
Johnson
up.
Was his last name, I think.
Did you look it up?
No, I didn't have a chance.
I kind of apologize to everybody here. I asked you about that Brandon Phillips thing. I thought that was a new quote.
Is it an old quote?
2010. So
it still applies.
Yeah, when he called the Cardinals a non nice term, said he actually kind of liked the Cubs
compared to the Cardinals.
Well, good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Less than 3 weeks before the football season, Neil. We have some more coverage. Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson. Tissy, I don't know who that is. Should I know who that is?
He was. Yeah, you do. He was drafted by Tampa Bay. Remember, he played for them a little while.
No.
Really?
I don't know. Josh Johnson does not ring a bell. Should it?
Yeah, I would have thought so, but I mean. Played at San Diego. Nothing. Fifth round pick in 2008.
Nothing.
Okay. He's played for a lot of teams. Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Cleveland, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Cincinnati, New York, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Baltimore, New York.
No idea who he was.
He's got a lot of jerseys somewhere.
At first, I was like, is that Jeremy Johnson? No way, right?
Well, I mean, his career NFL statistics are only 5 touchdowns and 10 picks. Let's not act like.
I did not know who he was, yes.
Anyway. All right, less than 3 weeks. We get more availability this week a couple times. They had Meet the Rebels on Saturday. They had a scrimmage. We'll find out about that when we can. All right. Anything that anybody said or anything that you have seen in our limited capacity that sticks out, that does anything to not change your perspective or narrative of the actual on-field performance, but just that maybe you had a little moment?
Trying to think. There's a couple of times that I watched DK Metcalf that I thought, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be that guy that gets All-American votes.
He looks different than everyone else.
Yeah, including A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I have some concerns for Shea Patterson.
Okay.
I think Shea's going to be a very good quarterback. I think Shea is a very good quarterback. I think there is an assumption that he steps in and is Chad Kelly level. And sometimes I would encourage people to go back and look at Chad's numbers over the last 2 years and understand that what you are replacing is a guy who was historic in his performance. I think to expect that day one from Shea, and I do think that's the general fan expectation, is unfair.
There is one human being alive that has more total offensive yards in a season than Chad Kelly.
His name is Johnny Manziel.
And he did it twice.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. And think about that for a minute.
Tim Tebow won a Heisman. Cam Newton won a Heisman.
Yeah, Cam Newton's the best.
Yeah.
Cam Newton took an average team to a championship.
Yeah, I mean, you give me the first pick in an SEC draft all time, I want Cam Newton.
No, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I might think about Herschel Walker.
Okay, fair enough. Modern era.
But, I mean, we're having...
Since the turn of the century.
Cam.
Done. I'll take him. Have at it.
Yeah. I'll take that guy. You take your guy. I like my chances right off the top.
It was Cam Newton and Nick Fairley and dudes.
And a bunch of dudes. And they won a championship. And he dominated the sport. Like, totally dominated it.
And he had fewer total offensive yards than Chad Kelly.
And so I do get a little concerned that the fan expectation for Patterson is ahead of where he is right now. And he's really good. But he still has a tendency, from what I've seen, to rely on his athleticism too much, and that's something they're trying to...
Phil Longo pointed it out the other day during his media appearance. He goes, I'm having a paraphrase. He needs Shea to use his feet as a second resort advantage, not a first resort. This is what we're doing with the play no matter what, that he's still bailing out of the pocket too much.
When people say, because I get pushback on this when I say that he didn't play well against Vanderbilt and that he didn't have any help against State. But in those two games, if you go back and look at them, he had a tendency to bail immediately. Remember that?
Yeah.
Which is not a criticism. True freshman, hey, I'm not playing. I'm redshirting. I'm not playing.
I've been running the scout team 2 weeks before that.
I'm not playing. I just accepted the fact that I'm not playing. Bam, I'm the starter. Oh, yeah, and win two of these three games because you're starting because I'm a coach who's in trouble and I need to go to a bowl. I need to go to another bowl game because I know this NCAA thing's coming and it's kind of my fault.
So I got two SEC road games upcoming, have at it, and then a rivalry game to end the year.
Yeah, truth is, I need you to win one of these two games and beat State at home and get me to a bowl game. That's why we're burning your redshirt year.
6-6
I'm sorry,
just
to protect the seniors because the seniors, I forgot about the seniors. Whoops. Sorry. It was really.
You forget about seniors and freshmen.
It was really important for those seniors. Really important.
You never take shots at sophomores or juniors, but you really hate the freshmen and the seniors.
I do. It was really important for those seniors who played in the Peach and the Sugar Bowl to get that Liberty Bowl bag. It was really, really.
You get fossil watches.
It really mattered.
Fossil watches.
Really mattered. And those 15 practices, they're big, too. Big practices. That's why. Under that exact same coach during the years that they had gone to a bowl game, those practices had very little substance.
They were tad light.
They were recruiting opportunities. About it. I digress. That's my concern, is that there's too much expectation hyped on him.
So what's reasonable?
That he's good. That he's good. That he improves as his sophomore year goes along. But I think there is, not everyone, so don't ever blow me up, but there is a certain fan expectation that he walks in. I mean, there are people already saying he's the second-best quarterback in the league. Mike Dettillier says he's the second-best quarterback in the league. Mike knows more football in 1 second than I'll know in my life. My point is, I think that's possible by the end of the year. I'm not sure that I buy it right now.
Yeah, there's an expectation for him to be Manziel-like.
Yeah, and Manziel struggled at first.
Lost his first two road games.
That's right.
They were, I want to say they were 1-2 or 2-2 right in the league early. They lost to LSU and they lost to Florida that year.
And then they went and beat Alabama in a crazy game, if I recall. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, that strikes me. I'm still struck by what I am concerned is a lack of linebacker play. I just don't know that the personnel's there. There's a lot of lipstick on that pig. And I hope I eat these words. I like the kids. Dante Evans seems like a really nice kid. I hope he does well. I know that they're trying to fix some things where he can stay in the box, where he can, where his lack of
speed,
foot speed doesn't get him caught. I just worry for
him. They hope that Jerry and Street can give them a running back's level of movement in that second level defensively. Yeah.
The truth is, when you ask a question and one of the first four names that comes up is the walk-on.
Taylor Polk.
I hate doing this because I feel like I'm criticizing Taylor, and I'm not. Taylor's a success story. Taylor's a great story. But when he's one of your first four linebackers, that's an indication of a lack of depth.
It's also interesting some of the movement in the secondary, you know, just kind of moving guys around to the point that they got to find
a safety, Chase.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've got a few corners, so they're just kind of inputting right now.
Wesley McGriff talked about the importance of keeping a top on the coverage, keeping a cap on the coverage. That free safety spot's important. They just haven't found one yet. Have some time.
I think starting in week two, it's Ken Webster.
Won't be surprised if he's starting week one.
Well, he's suspended.
Oh, yeah.
That was my...
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, probably. I tell you what, he is a testament to medicine.
Medicine and genetics.
Both.
I don't think my leg would have been repaired at this point. Just a hunch.
The same surgeon couldn't have put that together again?
Nah, I think he had a little more to work with Kenny.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Really is. I mean,
less than a year ago, Chase, that knee was shredded. He's back.
Moving around.
No brace.
Just running. Yeah, I'm quick.
Maybe before anybody goes, well, let me tell you, people inside that program, not just us, people inside that program said 2 years.
It was devastating.
2 years. Might never play again. The words career ending were whispered in that building. I can tell you that.
I mean, we were on the beat when we watched one of the best guys, just dudes, to ever come through, never play another snap in Tim Simon.
Yeah.
Looks similar.
And DT Shackelford
never got
was
back.
Never the same.
No.
Got the most out of his ability.
Yeah.
But he went from NFL prospect to a guy who really had to work hard.
CJ was never
CJ Johnson, as Gary said, is the best example of all. Was going to be an NFL player.
And
his knee injury was nothing compared to Ken's. Mm-mm. That's not fair. Was not as severe as Ken's.
Yeah.
Now, whether Ken comes back and...
Yeah, quick ability, I have no idea.
Right.
But what he's doing is incredibly impressive.
It's amazing.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. While underwriting and processing is in Memphis, you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask about the quote down option, which allows you to lock in your current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOW, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton, both Ole Miss alums, avid fans. 7 South, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, they can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC only and full season packages. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They typically sell out every game, so visit the site today. Secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site, 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them 662-321-1682. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide. They offer all the technology and products you want, but with the personal touch, OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Just quickly on this, not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do find it somewhat interesting. So, yesterday, Justin Thomas wins the PGA Championship, completing the four majors for the year in golf.
I was going to ask you about that.
The playoffs are up next. Well, the Wyndham is this week, and the playoffs are up next. A lot of young talent, more young talent at one time than ever in the game's history. A lot of likable dudes. Storylines if you're in it, but there's no Tiger Woods. Ratings for the four majors this year. Masters, worst ratings since 2004.
Okay.
Odd year, though, because 2004 is when Phil won the Masters for his first win. But anyway, worst since 2004.
Okay.
U.S. Open, second worst ratings ever.
Really?
British Open, the final round lost to the Brickyard 400 in ratings.
Oh, wow.
And yesterday, the lowest since 2008. Now, slight caveat to yesterday, all the stuff in Charlottesville was going on, yeah. And it changed the entire dynamic of the day from a rating standpoint.
Yes.
So,
there was news.
Huge caveat there.
Yeah. Really big caveat. Were they getting like a 3-6 or something like that?
I don't even know. Not sure what the number was. So, anyway. Why has it suddenly fallen off this level of a cliff? Oh. Tiger's been gone for a couple years.
It's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm asking your opinion. I'm not a good person, so I'm asking you.
Yeah, because you're like me. It'd be like someone asking me about NBA.
Yeah, it's
I
not.
Can't. You love golf. You'll watch golf if it's.
I mean, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and watch the European tour. Yeah. So I'm not the dude here.
You'll watch the New Zealand B League tour.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, and I'm as casual a golf fan as you'll get. People go, you hate golf. I do not hate golf. I need a rivalry.
That's it. They're too nice. Yesterday, Justin Thomas wins the PGA Championship. Good story, fine, whatever. Good, seemed like a good dude. Probably locks up Player of the Year honors.
Okay.
He's got four wins. He's got a major. He shot a 59 earlier this year. He shot a 63 at the U.S. Open or whatever it was. So, huge year. Probably wins Player of the Year going into the FedEx Cup. He walks off the green. He hugs his dad, hugs his mom, then walks over and high fives and hugs Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, and Bud Cauley. They had waited on him. They'd been done hours and waited on Justin to congratulate him, watch him finish. And we're talking about three of the, between Justin, Jordan, and Ricky, three of the top 10 most marketable golfers in the world.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure, Ricky and Jordan, and put Justin wherever you want to put him. He's more marketable today than he was yesterday.
Yeah.
So he does that, and he walks over, and two of his biggest rivals, he's hugging them and having this moment. Tiger and Phil aren't doing that.
No.
Rory mentions in the 2014 when he won at Valhalla for the PGA Championship. he was in the middle of his final round, and he was playing behind Ricky and Phil Mickelson. And he made comments about how when Phil and Ricky kind of got on a roll, they started high-fiving each other on the course. And it pissed him off. And he goes, "We're all trying to beat each other. What are you doing?" And he said it gave him another gear to end up winning the tournament. Rory's not that dude that's going to come over and hug him after it's over, typically. But he's not playing well right now. He's hurt.
Yeah.
He's talking about skipping the FedEx Cup to get healthy for the Masters next year.
Yeah.
They don't – there's no drama. There's no –
well, there's no hate at all.
There's no – you know, it's a bunch of 24-year-old millionaires that go, whatever.
Well, this is great.
You got yours. I got mine. We've all got –
okay, let's –
12s walking over here on our shoulder.
Thank you. Here's where I'm going. If you have a 10-year-old boy in the car, pause. Come back later.
Skip ahead 30 seconds.
Skip – give me 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay.
These are all fairly nice-looking guys.
All very good-looking dudes, yeah.
They've made gazillions already.
Yeah, they're all multimillionaires.
They all have great endorsement deals. They're surrounded by whether it's Under Armour or Nike or Ping, is that what it's called? Whatever. They all have endorsements and companies that know what the hell they're doing.
Justin Thomas yesterday, when he walks back over to his bag, they're like, "Hey, we got to go to the trophy thing." And he's like, "Hey, hold on a second." He had to go get his watch out of his bag and all that stuff and had to put all his stuff on.
That's why I don't ever make fun of Roger Federer when he does that stuff at the end of it. I'm like, dude's paying the bills right now.
He puts his jacket on. He puts his Rolex on.
Yes. Yeah, he got to pay his bills. Not stupid.
Yeah.
These are all guys. They're in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're set for life unless they're idiots. I mean, they'd have to be monumentally wasteful.
And playing a game where, barring something freak, they can make the same amount of money for 20 years.
Well, yeah, there's no defensive end taking out their knee here.
No.
They go to spring break together. They go party together. And let's face it, they're dating supermodels. There's nothing to hate. Hey, good for you. That's a pretty trophy. You look nice with that jacket. I got one, too. I'd like to win another one, but you know what? I'm happy for you. I'm going to go sleep with my supermodel now.
Holler if you want to go get a steak and a $8,000 bottle of wine later tonight.
Yeah, yeah. What time is it? 5? Call me around 7.
Yeah.
And we'll all go sit together.
Bring the car over.
Yeah, you bring your supermodel. I'll bring mine. We'll order whatever we feel like ordering. We'll sit around and we'll laugh a little bit. We'll talk and we'll celebrate. And you won, so we'll toast you this time. We'll toast me next time.
Tomorrow morning, we'll get up. We'll go get on our private jets and we'll fly to wherever we're doing next.
With our supermodels.
Yeah.
And we might even go get a new supermodel because this model got old. There's nothing to hate.
It'd be hard to drum up the rivalry hatred, wouldn't it?
I mean, you know. Yeah, I hate that I finished third. How much did I get? $750,000? I'm good. Good for you. Now, if one – so what they need is for –
they need one to go crazy.
They need one to go on a roll.
They need Rory to be good. That's it.
But they need somebody to, like, go win 6 tournaments or something so that there's a little jealousy.
Because well, see, right Ricky now there's no jealousy. One. Fowler doesn't have one.
Yeah, but he's got so much money, he's got women falling all over him. He's going to win one eventually.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it. He doesn't really seem to care.
He's all right. Rory's the villain, but he's not American. You need an American villain.
These guys have known each other since they were kids.
That's what I'm saying.
Too.
Rory's the only one not in that group.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, that's what – yesterday they – as soon as they won, they put out the picture of Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth at a junior tournament when they were like 8, together sitting up on a hill eating a hamburger.
Yeah.
All those dudes have been playing together for the majority of their life.
They all know that each of them what their dreams were, and they're all achieving their dreams, and they're happy for one another. Isn't that great? You see it in baseball sometimes. There's not enough hate.
Need hate.
And this is the wrong weekend to use the word hate. I'm talking about fake sports hate.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about real hate.
Yeah, no.
We ain't got any spot for real hate.
No.
I'm not into real hate.
I'm talking about jealousy and motivation.
Yeah. I want to take his stuff. Deal is, if you're the 4th best player in the world, it's all good. You live a lifestyle that really makes animosity difficult to gin up.
And you're with each other 40 weeks a year.
Y'all all know each other. Y'all travel together. You socialize together. Your supermodel is best friends with his supermodel.
Okay, top 10 players in the world. Who's the villain here? Where do we get hate? Where do we figure out a robbery?
Go for it.
Dustin Johnson.
Nah, hard
to married hate. To Paulina. Wayne's the father-in-law.
He's overcome some drug issues, apparently. He's a good player. No one seems to hate him. They used to hate
he's
him.
He's not in their clique, but he's...
They used to hate him because he slept with their supermodels.
Yeah.
But now he's with his wife.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever.
He's kind of cleaned up his act. He's... Whatever.
All right, so he's not hateable. Next.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, whatever.
This is not a racist statement, but the guy that can't speak English is never going to be the premier
He's
American
not trash-talking them on the course.
No, we're not pulling out World War II narratives here.
No,
I mean, this is,
no, and they respect his game, so
yeah,
no.
He's fantastic.
Next.
Jordan Spieth. Never.
No.
He's...
Milk and cookies. Who's fourth?
Rory McIlroy.
They need him to be great.
They
need him to be the best player.
They need him to whip their tail.
They need him to be Tiger.
And he's not Tiger.
Okay, so fifth?
Sergio Garcia.
Eh.
Nothing.
It's just nothing there. Everybody likes him.
Justin Thomas.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
The guy that won yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
He played at Alabama. He's from Louisville. Whatever.
Probably not very hateable.
John Rahm. Maybe. This is interesting.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Spanish, played at Arizona State.
Okay.
Incredible hothead.
Okay.
Throws stuff, yells, screams.
Interested.
Great player, too.
Okay.
Probably maybe one of the top three or four most talented players
in the
world.
Well, if you're the seventh best player in the world, you're probably pretty good at golf.
But my point is he's at that level, and he hasn't even played a full schedule for 2 years to get the full number of rankings.
I mean, a little bit of prima donna, maybe?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe.
And he's, even though it's not his native language – He's gotten good enough with English to where he even talks to his ball in English.
Okay, so but he doesn't hang with the boys.
No, not like the rest of them. He's not in that clique.
All right, well, he's got potential.
He's not American.
Yeah, he's got potential.
I mean, they're all American now because they live over here. But
that's
you know
okay.
What I mean.
But we can hate us a foreigner in sports.
You can create some hate.
And again, people, I'm talking about fake sports hate.
Yeah.
Not real. Not the real thing.
No. All right, Jason Day.
Yeah.
Not much there.
No.
He's got a couple kids, a little older.
Yeah.
He's his own form of prima donna, but not. He's not the...
They're not going to hate him.
No, they don't hate him at all. Henrik Stenson? No. You don't even know who that is.
I do know who it
is. He won the British Open last year.
Yeah, I remember.
And Ricky Fowler's 10. There's nothing here. It's a great time for golf people. It's a terrible time for the casual golf person.
It's back when I was a kid, tennis was so big because there were tennis rivalries. Borg played McEnroe and you watched. Connors
you
played.
You could convince yourself Connors hated that dude.
Connors played McEnroe and you watched. You don't remember this, but I do. When I was a kid in the 70s and early 80s, Wimbledon was must watch. Yvonne Lendl, all that stuff. Here recently when Federer played Nadal, you watched. You sensed that they really wanted to beat one another.
But see, tennis is easier with that because it's the best players always win.
And it's 1v1.
It's 1v1 and it's one match.
Right.
It's not 72 people over the course of 4 days.
Yeah, golf doesn't have that figure right now.
Rory was on the cusp and he fell off.
What was golf pre-Tiger? I mean, it was so long ago. Was it kind of what it is now in terms of ratings and such?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, but pre-Tiger, we're talking 1996.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I can't remember.
Well, I mean, media was so much different.
Yeah.
That's the problem with that is that, I mean, there was no dominant player necessarily from that. I mean, you had villains and different stuff, but not like this.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a sport. You know what I mean? I mean, it's – what is that?
It's my phone going off.
Oh, okay. It's loud.
Yeah.
You got the volume all the way up.
Don't know who that is.
Really?
I don't.
What do you have playing?
It's the Cubs song that they – whatever the Cubs pre-music that they take the field to that year,
okay,
that's my ringtone.
Oh, is it really?
And so this year it's Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons.
Okay. It's clever.
Yeah.
I ask.
That's my song. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I can't decide if I like Imagine Dragons or not. Anyway, but golf. Golf needs a villain.
Even
golf
in the top 25, there's nothing.
Golf needs someone that you either cheer for or against hard.
I mean, the Europeans hate Patrick Reed, but yesterday was his first ever top 10 in a major.
No,
there's nothing to hate.
No, you got to be great. The villain has to be a great player. In wrestling, the villain's always one of the best wrestlers. People loved Mike Tyson or hated Mike Tyson.
If you're not one of the best players, you're not a villain, you're an asshole.
Right.
There's a difference. The difference is a competitive level.
Yes.
So.
People loved Brett Favre or hated Brett Favre.
Now, do the ratings really matter for golf? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Tommy Prater talks about this with NASCAR all the time, that people are going to have to figure out what...
They've got a bigger problem than golf.
They do. But what are TV ratings anymore? There's so much sports on television.
Yeah.
So much sports on television.
And there's nothing else on TV in the off season for football at 2 o'clock on a Sunday. So CBS goes, well, we could show golf. People nap to it.
Right.
There's enough.
Yeah.
What else are you showing?
Right.
That's the point.
Right.
And now clearly they're not having a money problem in golf.
No.
Purses just
keep. That's like baseball. People go baseball ratings and the salaries keep going up.
Something's not adding up.
So the players go, I'm good. I'm getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Thomas up to 6th in the world after yesterday. Wow. Anyway.
But that's it. From a casual standpoint, I don't have anybody. There's no magnet.
The game, from a watchability standpoint, never been higher. They
right.
hit it a mile.
Oh, they're really good. I mean, when I do watch it, I'm like, dude, that dude's good. Who is he?
Yeah.
Never heard of that dude. Good Lord.
But again, they're all just high-fiving and smiling. And
it's kind of like with baseball.
They're in on the joke.
You watch Major League Baseball now, and every team has like 5 dudes out of the bullpen throwing 98. Holy hell.
That's the norm now.
Just heat. 98. Dude coming from the left side. 97, 97, 98. All right, you got one guy. We'll get another guy.
Mm-hmm.
On the average teams. Then Aroldis Chapman comes in throwing 103.
Left the park at higher than that.
It did.
That rookie got him.
Well, kids now see the faster pitching when they're younger. It's not quite as intimidating. I still cannot imagine. Can you imagine hitting 103?
I can't imagine seeing 103.
What does it look like?
I mean,
to the eye.
In high school, 85 looked like it was the fastest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Like you couldn't catch it.
No, I couldn't hit anyway, so no.
The podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. Michael works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Go to his site, gotland.com. You can read his recent testimonials, check out his track record, all of that. Just know this, the land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now is really the time for you to give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you and explain the process. And look, there's no pressure because he says if he can't earn your business in that meeting, it's on him, not you. You walk away. Three ways to get in contact with him, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. Ole Miss football season tickets and single game tickets are on sale now at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com or 888-REBTKTS. Ole Miss soccer opens up their season Friday. They host Alabama State at 7 in Oxford. Admission to all Ole Miss soccer games is free.
Tim Tebow turning 30 years old today.
I'm going to see. All right, you tell me this. We'll finish with this.
Yep.
I'm going to see the Cubs and the Mets twice next month.
Okay.
I'm going to Cincinnati for the thing. Leaving late Wednesday, going to Chicago. I'm going to see the Cubs and Mets Wednesday night and Thursday night. It's middle of September. Am I going to see Tim Tebow? What's your gut feeling today, Chase Barham? Are they going to call him up from high A to the bigs? in September.
Do we think he's going to do this another year?
That's a big part of the question, isn't it? I mean,
he's been a little better.
He's actually putting up really good numbers at high A.
I mean, that's the thing about this is I'm critical of the Mets in a lot of ways. I have been incredibly impressed with Tim Tebow.
I have too.
I don't think people understand how hard even high A is.
Now, along those lines, and we're keeping the Tebow personality thing out of it because I don't think that's fair to him, frankly, and I do it sometimes. I get mad at myself. The litmus test for any minor league baseball player is double A.
Prospects.
Has nothing to do with Tim Tebow off the field or all that stuff. The litmus test for any professional baseball player is double A. If you can excel at double A, you have a chance to be a major league baseball player.
Look, if the Mets GM is thinking about calling him up, here's his issue. Pulling straight out of high A with nothing in between doesn't mean – we all know it's a marketing stunt, but you know what I mean?
Let's take the marketing out of it. You would never do that to a 21-year-old kid. But he's not 21.
But you wouldn't do it to a 30-year-old either. You'd at least give a few at-bats to see what it looks like. So that's my point, is if you do it that way, you're defying all reasoning of how this process works.
And two, though,
you put him in double-A and then he just sucks, you're allowing more criticism of doing it in the first place. So there's really no good way to do it.
I think I just answered my own question. You helped me get there. That's why I'm glad we did this. If I do see him, I will know that it is nothing. The whole thing was nothing but a ploy. If I don't, and he comes back next year, they could justify putting him starting the season
at double A
and finding out in 3 to 4 months whether they have a player or not.
Well, and forget that. I would even contemplate. I'm just trying to sell some tickets. I'm trying to sell some jerseys. If it's a ploy. If you know he's coming back next year and you start him at double A, who's to say you couldn't push him up for 3 or 4 days and even in April or May just for the heck of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody gets hurt and you go, hey, we need a left-handed bat off the bench. Pinch hit in the seventh. Pinch hit in the sixth the next day.
Sure.
If you get lucky and he runs into one and hits one in the gap.
Because if you're trying to compete for the back page, football season is starting and the Yankees are in a pennant race. A wild card race, but whatever.
You'd get it.
For a few days.
I'm intrigued by it, if nothing else. So, a quick announcement here. We'll have more details on this. It's really tomorrow. I didn't prepare well for this. We're going to be in Jackson August 31st at the Westin. It's downtown, new hotel. There, we are going to do a bit of a live show. We're going to do a little bit of a meet and greet as well. It is completely free, so come hang out. There'll be some food provided. You'll have alcohol at your disposal if you would like it. So come hang out with us. We'll probably even bring Russell, let you meet him as well. So, again, August 31st. Don't know the time. I'm assuming about 6:30 is just kind of my guess, but I'll have more details on that later today or tomorrow. But, again, in Jackson, August 31st. That is 2 days before the college football season begins for Ole Miss. Somebody's playing that Thursday night, but I have no idea who it is now.
I can't remember either. I remember looking
traditionally at the South Carolina Vanderbilt game.
For some reason, I think it is one of those two teams, but don't hold me to that. I don't know. Someone will be playing. It'll be on the screen.
Neil's going to break it down for you is what's going to happen.
No, he won't.
Don't think so?
Probably not.
There's a lot of games the Saturday before that. Did you know that?
Saturday the
26th.
College games?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oregon State, Colorado State. Hawaii, UMass, South Florida, Stanford plays that day. They play Rice.
Okay.
Just noticed. Oklahoma State plays on that Thursday night. Arkansas plays on that Thursday night. Louisiana Monroe plays on that Thursday night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who do the Warhawks play?
The Warhawks play... Well, hold on. I thought a second ago. Memphis, the Tigers.
Huh?
Mike Norvell and ULM on the same field that night at the Liberty Bowl. You can get in for $12.
But I'll be in Jackson, so I can't go.
I'm sorry.
Damn.
Get Jeffrey to Skype you in. We can sit him on the table.
Cubs play the Braves that night. 7:05. It's Anthony Rizzo emoji cap.
Emoji cap?
Emoji cap night at the ballpark.
What's that look like? Yeah, you got a copy?
I don't.
Okay. All right, guest this week on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. We will definitely do that. Otherwise, we will have nothing to talk about. But thanks for hanging in with us today. Coverage at RebelGrove.com. Practice availability, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll have more then and some stuff in between as well. Russell's got kind of his high school football schedule ready this morning on the site. You can check that out, see where he's headed this season for the high school level and recruiting and some other stuff. So come join us, RebelGrove.com. Talk to you tomorrow.